Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
You think you like football? Trent Dilfer doesn't just really like football. He loves football.
Carlos Hyde, little penetration. Boom, and then the spin move. We've seen power. We've seen acceleration by Carlos Hyde. Welcome, NFL, to Carlos Hyde, the bell cow back for the San Francisco 49ers.
Football!
Football, yeah! Yeah. Football! Yeah. Football!
Get some!
Is there a more football word or phrase than bell cow running back?
Bell cow.
Come on! Football!
Gunslinger. You know, the old, like, I love me a good gunslinger. I know that mostly is a Favre thing, but, you know, Jay Cutler had some gunslinger to him. I love me some gunslinger.
Bell cow is top five, though, for football-y, in-the-mud, football, neck roll, backboard type of thing. Bell cow.
Because a bell... What is bell cow? What is it?
Carries the load. Like, does a ton of work.
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly how it sounds. So, but
do cows do work? Cows just stand and eat...
Well, but a bell cow...
They just stand and eat grass.
Well...
Did you not have any cows on the farm? Didn't you have a farm growing up?
Or it was a hobby farm.
Hobby.
We just had horses.
Yeah. I don't know. I lived in the city.
But you can ride horses. Horses for centuries carried people and like wagons across mountains.
But my guess is cows do. No, but my guess is in farms in the old days there was a bell cow, and it probably alerted you to things and carried the load and did a lot of the work, and that's what these guys do. They're bell cows, okay? They like to get dirty. They like to get in the mud. They muck it up. They'll throw blocks one day and carry the ball the next because all they want to be is the bell cow.
Come on! Football!
I don't know if I trust Judd's farm takes.
And then when they get done,
just making this up.
They eat cows. Big pieces of cows.
The cows do? No,
I'm saying they're not cannibals. I'm saying the guys that are the bell cow running backs get done and they go for a big steak at Murray's. Or another fine dining establishment, and they have a big slice of meat lathered with, and a big baked potato, too.
Go ahead, Dex.
I was going to say, I forgot to tell you guys, on Tuesday, I was walking across the Stone Arch Bridge here in Minneapolis, and one of those horse carriage and buggies was coming down, and that bridge is narrow. I almost turned around. It was
terrifying.
I feel
like you have a misperception of how dangerous horses are. Horses aren't looking to attack humans.
Although I will say this.
They're scary.
They're vegetarians.
They are scary.
Those guys that drive those things and you're with the gal and they're like, do you want to ride for $25? And I'll walk
or
drive.
Zero chance. The relationship is over.
It's romantic. You know what it is? No, it's cold and it takes too long.
Ugh.
Well, maybe you should just relax and enjoy the evening.
You know what? I can get in my car and hit the gas pedal and get home to my couch.
Yeah.
Okay. Romantic Judd here and nervous Declan makes up 2/3 of the Purple Daily Crew. I'm Phil Mackey.
It'll be our new action film.
This show is presented by TCL TVs. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. And every week we go through and we take your comments and questions from the Purple Daily YouTube page. We do read them. And we love the fact that these shows sort of create this community of Vikings fans, commenters, debates. It's awesome to see, and we love being part of it. So let's just go through it. This is going to be very offensive line heavy, speaking of meat and potatoes and cows and bell cows.
That's good bell cow work, yeah.
So we're going to go through some of these here. Necro No Mecron 79 says, conspiracy theory hot take. Spielman and Zimmer want Kirk to get hurt. They will run the bus until the wheels come off. Injury settlement. And then that leads into, I believe it's Sabuchny 11. Hey, guys, curious. Do you envision Coach Zimmer and the front office scrapping their current plans of drafting offensive linemen and going after linemen that may not fit the zone scheme but are built so that they can withstand a bull rush? So just to over-explain here. The Vikings, with their zone run-blocking scheme, love the sort of nimble, even lighter offensive linemen that can get out in space and can cover an extra 5 yards to go out and block for Dalvin Cook, right? But the problem is some of those guys, like Garrett Bradbury, just get forklifted off the line of scrimmage in pass protection. So he brings up Ben Cleveland as a guy. I think we drafted Ben Cleveland in one of our mocks earlier this week.
You did third round.
Ben Cleveland fits a power run scheme, is a bull in a foam booth, but doesn't fit the typical zone scheme or the lineman in that type of scheme. What are your thoughts on them sort of changing the way that they look at these offensive linemen?
I think it's very, very small. The reason why they supposedly, what was it now, 3 years ago, the reason why they passed on Will Hernandez was exactly that, because he didn't fit their, he doesn't fit our scheme, right? I think that they very much have, as long as the current offensive staff, which aside from Kubiak stepping away and his son Clint Kubiak taking over as the offensive coordinator, I think the philosophy and the people have stayed the same. So I don't think that they are going to. Back to the first point about Cousins, which I realize the point itself is ridiculous. They don't want him to get hurt. But it does seem like, I've shot this down too, but to what he asked, it certainly does seem like when they approach Kirk about a potential pay cut again or a restructure and pushing his earnings off again like they did last year for a few years, and he said, obviously, no, I'm good. It certainly does seem like you could make a case where they said, okay, cool. What now we can't spend on? Offensive line. I'm not saying that they did, and I don't believe that for one second. But it is interesting that we are still having discussions with the draft approaching and the free agent market essentially dried up. That offensive line-wise, that's pretty much gone now. So I don't think they're trying to get him hurt. Do I think he cost himself a guard or a tackle? Possibly. Maybe.
I think two things, just to answer both of these. And there's more, by the way. We'll get to some more offensive line stuff here. No, I don't think they want Kirk to get hurt. Although, I don't think they consciously and intentionally want Kirk to get hurt. But I think that they clearly don't value offensive line as much as they value building a defense in every way first. Like, their priorities are defense, 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 and then offensive line. We're just going to have to sort of piecemeal and get a bargain bin free agent over here, trade a 6th-round pick for a backup / kind of starter over here in Mason Cole, right? They prioritize defense over offense in terms of their resources. And then I think on the actual like type of offensive lineman that they're going to be targeting, I agree with you. I think they value running the ball and that zone block running scheme more than they value throwing the football, which is antithetical to what wins in today's NFL. And I'm not saying what wins 9-7 or 9-8, whatever your new 17-game record will be. I mean winning at the end of the season, at the end of January, early February. Carter Gaspard says, stages of offensive line grief. There's denial. No, they're going to sign a guard in free agency. That's denial, right?
I love it.
Then there's anger. Zimmer, do you not care about the offensive line? What the hell?
Yep.
Then there's bargaining. Well, we'll let you sign your defensive guy, Zim, but just please use the draft for offensive linemen. And then there's depression. I just want us to rebuild already. And then there's acceptance. Well, at least we're not the Lions.
Okay. That is, I think, my favorite tweet in comments that we've gotten so far. That's
Carter
a great Gaspard,
good stuff.
Good job, Carter. He's exactly right. Like, we've all been through all of those, down from what are you doing to... Yeah, I mean, you could be Cleveland for the last 25 years.
We're with those five stages, we're definitely good at the bargaining stage right now. So denial, anger, bargaining is, hey, we'll let you sign your defensive guys, Zimmer, but just use the draft for offensive linemen. That's the stage we're at for the next 3 weeks.
But I am personally very prepared right now to say, quiddy pay, yeah, I guess so. Like, I'm almost accepting that right now. That I'm going to be surprised if they stick at 14. I'm almost going to be surprised now from a standpoint of what Mike would like to do if they don't take Quiddy Pay.
Yeah, I think if I had to, like, gun to the head, what position really do they draft, or what is it, defense or offense in the first round? Gun to the head, your life depends on it. I would say defense.
Yep.
I'm not super confident, but I would say defense. I Goddard says, here's the offensive line to start the season. Left tackle, Brian O'Neill. Left guard, Mason Cole. Center, Garrett Bradbury. Right guard, Ezra Cleveland. And then right tackle, Tevin Jenkins. Late first, early second round pick after the Vikings trade back.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on the feasibility and your thoughts on if that is the starting five?
I would say odds are that that's not the starting five, but what he just explained as far as a philosophy makes perfect sense. So if QuiddiPay is there at 14, I think we pretty much have seen that across the board, he's probably a first-round pick, but not that high, right? So if he's there, and especially if a quarterback is there, someone's going to come up and get that pick. And they're going to make the Vikings a pretty substantial offer, which actually at that point in time, if there's a quarterback still there, Phil, I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if a team came up and tried to get that pick and said, we'll swap first round picks and give you our second round pick, which I think personally Spielman is probably desperate to get back. And so then if you're picking later in the first round, you might take or you might try to take QuiddiPay there. And then certainly an old lineman in the second round. So I don't know that the name that he threw out there at right tackle is the right name, but I'm with him on the philosophy of what they might do.
So I'm more and more I'm thinking that there's a semi-decent chance, like a 25-30% chance, that either Trey Lance or Justin Fields is available at pick 14, which, you know, we did a dive into that scenario, I think 2 days ago on Purple Daily. Would you take a quarterback? But let's say you've decided, if that happens, and I'm sure they're running through this scenario, right? Like, if that happens, we aren't going to take the quarterback. We need to leverage any team, starting with the Patriots, if they haven't already traded up, that would maybe be interested in a quarterback, right? So I'm just going to buzz through all the teams that draft after the Vikings in the first round. If that scenario happens, Trey Lance is sitting there at 14 because teams just haven't seen enough of him, right? I don't think Fields falls that far. But let's say Trey Lance does.
Okay.
Because there's just too many question marks.
Yep.
Which team is most likely to be like, oh, man, God, can't believe that dude fell out of the top 10. All right, we got to make a move for this, right? Patriots could for sure, but I don't think you're going to get a ton from them to move up one spot unless there's another team as well that, like, they're scared that's going to jump them.
Correct.
So you could play that card. You could call the Patriots and be like, hey, this team's going to jump you, and so, like, we're going to create a bidding war here.
Yep.
The Cardinals, no. The Raiders?
That's a wild card, but it's a possibility. I would doubt it, but I wouldn't dismiss it. Does that sound fair?
Yep. I think that's fair.
Washington at 19.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. Yes.
100%, I think, even, yeah.
That's a good one, and I bet they might do it.
How about the Bears at 20? I know they just signed Andy Dalton, but that's not a long-term thing.
I wouldn't mind that at all if I was a Bears fan. I think that'd be a good play.
I don't think the Vikings, and I know that you will both disagree with me on the philosophy of this, and I'm not advocating for it, but I don't think the Vikings would make that trade with a division opponent unless they clearly won it by a ton. Because I don't think that they would want to hand. If Trey Lance is good, you became the team that gave a division foe their quarterback.
The Bears would probably look to trade with the Chargers at 13.
Yes.
Just to avoid that whole discussion. Right?
Yes.
The Colts at 21. Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, Carson Wentz. No.
They're not going to.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
The Titans, are super happy
they're
with
set.
Tannehill right now. The Jets will already have picked the quarterback. The Steelers at 24. That's a really interesting one because they're doing one more year with Big Ben.
Yeah.
But they do need a successor to Big Ben. So are they going to want to use their first-round pick on something that can help this year's team, or are they going to see, oh, man, Trey Lance is sitting there. We could get this mobile young dude. Sit behind Ben for a minute.
So we've got the Patriots, the Steelers, and Washington as far as the potential to try and play off each other at this point.
Yep. Jacksonville, no.
Yep.
Cleveland, no.
Yep.
Baltimore, no. Saints jumping. I don't think the Saints are jumping from 28 up to 14. I would be sort of shocked if that happened. But I
can see Sean Payton loving to get his hands on Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Makes
totally.
Sense.
Let's put him on there.
Yeah,
let's put him on there.
All right.
Green Bay already did this last year. The Bills, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers. So there's probably four teams that you would have on speed dial, right?
Yep.
That if that scenario played out. All right. Let's see here. Next question from the YouTube comments. T Field says, I'm confused on why Eric Wilson was not re-signed by the Vikings. So what was it, like $4 million, $3, $4
million? Yeah, no, it was a one-year contract. He did not. I think he thought he was going to cash in, and he didn't come close. It's a one-year deal. He was not re-signed because he is not as good as we all thought at first. And from the Vikings' perspective, I think the choice was Wilson's ticket out of town here was signed, sealed, and delivered when Anthony Barr agreed to come back. And the Vikings clearly see Barr as the superior player. In their mind, I don't think it's close. So he was not coming back here unless Barr said no. If Barr said no, yeah, I could see it. But once he said, I'll take the restructure, Wilson was gone.
And they've, you know, but yeah. So Wilson's your third linebacker in a league that plays a ton of nickel. And yeah. So you have limited free agent resources. It's not that they didn't want him back. It's just that they had to prioritize the things that they needed to spend money on. And, you know, Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks are the two starting linebackers for this team when they're in nickel. So, all right. David Nelson says, we do get a lot of comments about the local media here, and we're not afraid to discuss this. So David Nelson says, Minnesota media is not only Minnesota nice, but I call it Minnesota passive. It's annoying. Judd used to actually cover for the Star Tribune back in the day, the local media beat. And so you would write sort of state of the local media. Oh. If there was a big radio change or something. I have worked in the local media here for about 15 years. Declan for, I don't know, 8 years, yeah. Somewhere in there.
5, 8 years, yeah.
And Judd for going on 30 years, if you go back to like the beginning
over
stages.
Over 30
of Star
years,
Tribune,
yeah.
Right?
Started in 89.
How would you describe the current state of Minnesota media?
Well, it depends on the people.
Without burning all the bridges to your
Well, I was going to say, first of all, it depends on because it's probably not fair to go with the collective since people approach it differently. But I've just always said this. For anybody who thinks that we in this town are harsh or players that think, man, the media gets on me or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Look at Chicago. Look at Boston. New York, obviously, Philadelphia is, you know, I mean, they'll fillet you for almost nothing. So passive might be a good word at times. And it also depends on the groups. I mean, are we talking about television? Are we talking about radio? Are we talking about the print or website people? But, you know, I think the issue is that we probably as a collective aren't as tough on the teams and the players as we could be consistently. And I think part of that goes back to the guy that's joined me today for the podcast. If you are watching us right now, I've got my Sid Hartman bobblehead here with a hot dog and notebook. And a long time ago, a lot of people in this town learned from a guy like Sid, right? Sid, he's saying yes right now. That the more
Hey, you.
That if you are for the home team and you are for the local players, a lot of people like that. And so I think it started a tradition which has continued with some, not all. So I am not I just want to be clear. I'm not collectively draping a blanket on the entire establishment, but it definitely started a trend where I think that there is in some ways a path of least resistance, that it's easier to get stories, and it's easier to have friends if you're not tough on teams and players, which has continued with some to this day.
Yeah, I think everything you just said is right. And then I would even go and say that, you know, it's been 30 years. So this is the 30th anniversary this year of the Twins winning the World Series. So with the four major men's professional teams, two of which, by the way, hockey and football, have never won a championship, and the Timberwolves have only been to the playoffs once. So, I mean, well, three of them have never won a championship. It's funny that, like, the Wolves aren't even, like, on a level where you don't even have to say that they've never won a championship. It's just, like, obvious. But they've only been to the playoffs once in 15 years. 30 years with these men's teams, and there's been some moderate playoff success. I mean, the Twins currently have the longest postseason losing streak in North American sports history, right? And I just feel like the vibe overall is that it's whatever. It's okay. 30 years, just, you know, put a new bar in Target Field or put some purple couches at the new stadium in downtown Minneapolis for the Vikings and we'll all be okay with it. And I think sometimes we come out and we call that out, right? We're all about having fun and watching sports and whatnot, but like there should be a little bit of pressure to win a championship once in a while. And I almost think that we are sort of outliers because of that, because that's not in New York, Boston, et cetera. Everyone is pushing for those things. And here I think there's a lot of just comfort with just being good enough and existing in your division sometimes. So that's my take on it. Oh, Declan, do you want to burn any relationships here before we get to the next
one? Not necessarily burn relationships. It's a very interesting media scene. I think one thing that really stood out to me, and one that I really noticed, was a few years ago when the whole Jimmy Butler thing was going on, the practice dilemma, and he called in his friend Rachel Nichols to come here to do the sit-down. And I'm not going to name names, but I remember there was numerous just TV and other people saying, like, he's going to call in Rachel Nichols? Like, why wouldn't he call in one of us? It's like, do you really think Jimmy Butler is going to do a sit-down with so-and-so local sports people? Like, no, guys. Like, have a little bit more self-realization in that department. That was one of the first times I was like, are we for real here? Are we really sure. Going about this in that way? But I think in general, it's a fun place to be in. And also, if like you're starting out, I think it's also a very less intimidating spot. Just speaking from that, from experience covering things pretty at a younger age than a lot of other people, that it's a softer and an easier spot to be in to start out your career.
It's a soft market.
It's a soft market, is what I'm trying to say.
It's a soft market. I would like to see us as the collective group in town. Instead of, like, we all...
Sorry, careful. Sid. Yeah, Sid's bowel head is fragile.
We all benefit... In fact, you know what? I'm going to take off the glasses.
Oh, here we go.
We all benefit when the teams are good. There's no question about it. Like, there's no upside to Score North or KFAN or the Star Tribune for the team stinking. It's no fun. People tune out. But I feel like we have a large group in this town who just roots for the success because that's good for their entity, but they do so in a, come on, guys, come on, team. This is what I'm, it's frustrating. The East Coast, they get pissed off, which is what I like. Like I want the Twins to win a damn playoff game, partially for me. Like I said, I deserve Kirill Kaprizov. Because I've watched The Wild Flounder for 20 bleeping years. I deserve this, okay? So, like, I want people to get worked up instead of being like, ain't it great? It's like, no, it's about damn time. And you've lost 18 consecutive playoff games? That's a damn embarrassment. I don't want you to win a playoff game. I damn well expect it, right? And for the Vikings, make a Super Bowl. I was 7 years old. I'm 51. But instead of like, I hope they make the Super Bowl, purple passion, this is great. No, bleep that. Just make the damn Super Bowl. I deserve this. This is a me thing. I'm getting old. I might die. I might drop dead. You don't know. So that's what
I
would
like. You like that.
But I would like to see more of a collective angst and anger that is projected to the community so they can be like, you know what? Hell yeah, you're right. We deserve this. Instead of, I hope this is the year. That's the passive part that drives me crazy. We all benefit. If they're good, so let's hold them to that damn standard so that they are good. And if they're not, people lose their jobs.
Yeah, I love it. I love the passion.
I want passion.
I love the accountability. I think one more comment here before we wrap, and this is just it's a shot at Declan. Cameron Erdman says, I feel like this. Declan is throwing darts blindfolded when he makes his write that down predictions on Purple Daily. Defend yourself.
For Purple Daily, no, I will wear that. For Mackie and Judd, I will not. I will certainly not make that assumption. My batting average is sustainable and usually pretty dang good. So for the football predictions, yes, I go for broke, okay? If football passes are a lot more fun when there's triple coverage there. Like, you can throw it in the window, okay? I'm not looking for checkdowns, and I'm not looking for Hail Marys. I want to be Brett Favre here, and I want to just throw it into triple coverage and see what the hell happens.
You're more Ponder right now, dude.
That's not a Ponder movement, and I'm also not Brett Favre. So I made two very incorrect comparisons to my game there. So
that's an interesting comment. I'm not sure it's fair, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, people just picking on Declan there. More people, I think, pick on me and Judd, but
that's okay.
That was fine. I want Declan to be able to defend himself there. All right. That's a wrap on today's reading the YouTube comment section edition of Purple Daily here. Every single week we dive in, we take your questions, your comments. So load them up and maybe you'll make the show here. And you can also follow us as a brand at Score North on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can follow just look us up, Declan Goff, Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad on Twitter and Instagram as well. And we'll see you guys next time on Purple Daily.